You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. So now, finally, we get director-writer Bart Frundlich's the final chapter in his wedding trilogy, After the Wedding. Originally called, from what I heard, Wedding Endgame.
Wedding Endgame.
No, there's no wedding trilogy.
Stifler's Revenge.
It's like, great, this is the second one in a week that I've not seen the previous two chapters of.
But
this is fine.
It's not the case.
Lies! This is a web of lies!
It's not a before the wedding, during the wedding, and after.
Although, fucking hell, there is enough plot for a trilogy. Jesus Christ.
There wasn't enough plot, but anyway.
This is a remake of a 2006 film, which is a long time for a remake to gestate. Quite frankly, by Suzanne Beer, who has since become a Danish film director, and since has become a big English director. She did the Night Manager miniseries to much acclaim, and Bird Box on Netflix with less acclaim. Although I liked it, everyone was giving it a lot of shit.
I still need to watch it.
I thought it was
same. We can have a watch party.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. But this one is Julianne. You said it was Julianne Moore's husband, right?
Bart. Freundlich. Yeah, it's one of those.
I don't know how.
He didn't give a shit. He's fine.
He has Julianne Moore.
They're spending Hunger Games money. They're okay.
We'll leave the names to you.
Yeah. But before we get started, I'm Chris.
I'm Marcos.
I'm Frank.
I'm Jen, Mayhem's Muse.
You guys made it back for a second one.
Yes. Got the band back
Game
together.
Game two.
It's been a whole week.
So when this movie starts, it starts in India following... Michelle Williams playing Isabel. She is living there for a very long time in an orphanage, takes care of all these kids, and she's very concerned because the money that she was promised to, like, from their benefactors back in America is not coming. And they're like, what's the deal? Why isn't it coming? We need this money desperately. And they're like, well, they said it will come, but they need you, and you specifically, to go to New York City and talk to them, then you'll get the money. And she's like, I do not want to go to New York City. And partially because she has a real bond with these kids.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to leave these kids. I don't think they can handle... I think they need me here. But the other person who works there is like, are you fucking crazy? Go get the money.
It's $2 fucking million, man. We need it.
Go. Why are you still here?
So she goes there to New York and meets her potential new benefactor, Teresa, played by Julianne Moore, who is basically like, look, this is a very complicated weekend for me. I'm like, we're going to figure out what's going on with the money, but my daughter is getting married this weekend. Why don't you come to the wedding? Michelle Williams already, you can see her, like, the only reason she's not screaming at this point is because it's $2 million.
Yeah, she needs the money.
And she's like, ugh. And it's not like they're not taking care of her. They're putting her up in, like, a penthouse fucking, like, suite
in
the middle of New York that's amazing.
Great view.
Bathtub bigger than my first college apartment.
It is.
personal driver, all that stuff.
Cell phone.
But
dresses?
She wants no part of this, but whatever. So she goes to the wedding and finds out that the father is played by Billy Crudup, is Oscar Carlson, who is a artist of... And maybe it's just me. I just don't understand art, but I don't know what the title was. Sculptures.
I was thinking I was alone in that, but thank you.
Yeah,
I didn't understand anything art related in this film, even the rock monologue.
Yeah,
that's because nobody understands modern art.
But I liked it. I thought all the art stuff I saw was pretty.
I
didn't even think it was that at times.
So I don't know much about art, but I know what I don't like.
Don't know what you're going for, dude. But hey, I like the lights.
Yeah. Well, because he's relatively successful at what he does. Yeah. He's not like the breadwinner. That's Julianne Moore, who had started her own company and is now selling it for a shit ton of money. And everyone's like, Jesus Christ, you made a huge deal out of yourself. He's like, this is good. Yeah. But they have two twin boys, and then their older daughter who is getting married, and it's kind of a whirlwind like thing. You know, they haven't been together very long. She's very young. Michelle Williams shows up at the wedding, is obviously uncomfortable, but way more uncomfortable when she makes eye contact with Billy Crudup, and you're like, these two people know each other somehow. Well, it turns out how they know each other is, and like I said, you may think this is spoilers, but this is still early in the movie. We're not going to spoil the really big twist.
If it's in the trailer, you can say it. Yeah.
That the girl in question being married is not actually Julianne Moore's daughter. She came into the picture afterwards. The birth mother of the daughter is Michelle Williams, who was never made aware that the birth father, Billy Crudup, had kept the daughter. They had an agreement they were going to give her up for adoption. Michelle Williams took off immediately and was unreachable after that. And Billy Crudup, the last possible second, was like, I can't do this. I've got to keep her. So, emotional complications set in.
And ensue.
I've been more comfortable in horror movies than I was for the first third of that movie. Right. Well, see,
that's how good Michelle Williams is. She makes her uncomfortableness just radiates onto you.
I'll say this. I love the fact that there were not long periods of, like, I don't know if I should tell them, and then anger at not telling you. It was right away people were like, here's what just happened. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with everyone about what
Yeah, there's nothing worse than movie when people should be saying stuff that they're not. And you're like, just say it. Say it to that person. You're in the same room right now. Say it. It will make things way better.
They're like, rip that Band-Aid off.
Yeah, exactly.
What I didn't realize was that honesty, which is much more realistic, because in that situation, how could you possibly think you were going to keep that a secret?
Yeah.
Is only like blindsiding you to big secrets to be revealed later on that have been held for a long time. which is all fine. Our friend Richard Whitaker described it as a lifetime drama. I don't agree with him.
I don't agree with him either.
I don't agree either.
I think it's not, you know, it goes beyond the surface too many points. I think the plot points themselves can be a lifetime, but they delve too deep into them.
You can take almost any plot and say, think of it as a lifetime movie, and you can do that. This was a very dramatic, very human film with a lot of, like, big emotional shifts in it. That if it wasn't so incredibly well performed, sure. If it was badly performed by bad actors, I go, okay. But it's a lot more than that.
It is. I think what really helps it, saves it from being like sort of cliche and trite, is that there are no perfect people at the center of it. You know, all these characters are all sort of rich and they're layered in their own ways. And, you know, they've all got their ghosts and they've all got their secrets. And there's nothing perfect about their lives, and you know, the movie never tries to paint them as, you know, any, you know, it shows their flaws, you know, ready and willingly.
There's definitely no Mary Sue's in this film, as horrible people would say.
I think it's particularly interesting in this movie that all of the characters are very self-aware. All of them call out their own flaws and own their own actions. Nobody's lying about anything. I mean, other than the fact that they've, you know, change this narrative to benefit the daughter and not make her worry about what's happened with her mom's past. They all know where they've screwed up. They all own it, and they all continue on through that. Instead of try and make excuses for it or work around it, they're like, yeah, this thing happened. This is why. You need to know about it. Here's how we move forward. But that was really refreshing to see in a film.
Exactly.
Both Crudup and Williams' characters have this long-standing pain from the secret that they thought they would never, ever, ever have to deal with again. Like, she didn't realize it was a secret. She just did, like, that part of my life is over and I will never have to confront it.
Yeah.
And so I'm burying myself in India so I never have to think about the fact I gave up a child. He is like, it was a convenient thing to early on say, no, your mom died. Like, that's why it was there, to avoid hurting a little girl, which is totally understandable. And then there's that point that, yes, he should have said that's not what happened at some point when she was old enough to handle it. But come on, we're all human. We know what it's like, that point where the lies got, it looks like they're never going to see her again. Is there any way she's ever going to know? Of course, they obviously didn't know about, what is it, 23andMe or whatever it is.
So a lot of the things where the rationale, I guess, behind the character's actions actually isn't related until the first, I would say probably halfway point, kind of almost. So you're the way you're watching the movie, it's like everything is at least I did. Everything was uncomfortable. And then you've seen everybody's flaws, who's loud, who's bossy, who doesn't care about the people around them. And then it's weird, the more the movie goes, it's like, well, they're trying to be good people. Like,
yeah.
Get closer to
They're all gray, aren't they? They're just like, I love that.
They're gray, but usually in most movies, you start with the good stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, no, they're also terrible. But this was the other way.
Well, yeah, it's sort of interspersed. You know, yeah. Because it made them really human, you know.
Everybody in this movie makes, at least once in their life, makes a very extreme choice.
Uh-huh.
And whether during the events of the film or before it or towards the end, they make a very extreme choice in their life that, no, is not the same choice absolutely anybody would make, for sure. But it is a choice you see as completely plausible given the scenarios mm-hmm. involved. You're like, wow, tough call, but I understand why that someone might make that call. And it's about that play out of all these things, the confluence of these things. And I like the fact, I was a little worried at the point where we're relatively early on, towards the end of the first act, we get the reveal Michelle Williams has that relationship mm-hmm. with them. That we were just going to coast on that for the entire rest of the film.
I thought so, too. Yeah. And we took it to a place that I didn't see, anticipating, because I saw the trailer, and I thought it was just going to be, that was going to be, like, the centerpiece of the film, and that everything, the whole plot's going to be built around that, which is enough for a film, I thought.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But it's 110 minutes, and I was like, this has got to have some other shoe to drop here for this to work, because there gets to a point where I'm like, you're stretching this. If it had a little more comedy, maybe it would work with just that. Like a little more punch up, a little more funny bits. But it's not a funny movie.
No, it's not.
The only comedy is awkward. Like, let me tell you a heartwarming story and then swerve with a joke. And then everyone laughs on cue.
But then the other shoe drops, which I'm not going to say what it is. And it explains all the questions.
It does.
Questions you didn't know you had yet. Uh-huh. Stuff that we're just starting to build in subtly under the surface of the film. But why moments that another film would have been fine with leaving unanswered? Say no, it's okay. And this sort of cements it all together into a reasonably plausible mix of human behavior.
I think so too. I think that's also Froelich, because he doesn't do a lot of explaining. He doesn't have his characters do a lot of explaining. He just lets them just, if you feel like everything they say is so natural and instinctive, and they don't say, well, I did this because of the time that this happened, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. They
it's
just
not
say,
the exposition.
Yeah, exactly. They say literally the thoughts that are in their head, and they just get them out. And I love that. It felt more organic that way.
It felt organic.
It's the smoothest plot dump I've ever seen.
Yeah, and the thing that kept popping up for me was the realization that these characters were very raw. In a lot of scripts these days, you get something that's obviously glossed over or contrived as far as the character development. These characters weren't put into a situation and then they adapted. They went back and forth like you do when you've had a huge shakeup in your life. There are going to be moments where you're like, okay, this is fine. I can deal with this. Let's move forward. And then in the middle of it, something's going to trigger you and you're going to go, oh no, but why the hell did you do this? What was going on in your brain with this? And then you'll move back into being okay with it. So the characters were given the permission to feel what they wanted to feel in the moment mm-hmm. and then go back towards moving that character development along and the story along. And I thought it was really nice to see that change back and forth from the moments of okay to those moments of I'm not okay in this moment and I need some answers.
Yeah.
And I just need to let that emotion out. And then we can move on with it. That was really beautiful to see.
Well said. Wow, we're reviewing a real grown-up movie.
Yeah. I know. Shock.
This is for the big kids. Kids.
I felt some feels. I'm not going to lie. I welled up a couple times.
Yeah. I teared up twice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one of the best examples, without giving any spoilers away, of where this movie is so not Lifetime fair is when I was seen toward the end when one character breaks down in another character's arms. And I think, you know, if you had gone with a real sort of cliche reaction, it'd be like a there. But the other character in turn breaks down.
Yeah.
And I thought that was one of the most beautiful moments because they're both scared.
Yeah.
I thought that was so great.
The performances are really stellar here. Mm-hmm. Even Crudup, who has been playing for too long now, the way too stoic actor who wants to be too subtle about showing emotion in his face when it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
He's playing that role, but the movie gives him a couple chances for that veneer to break and for him to lose it, uh-huh. Whether in anger or sadness. And I felt like it was more help define at the very least the character better by that.
He does a lot of he's one of those actors who's very contained.
Yeah,
and a lot of, that could also be just the parts he's attracted to.
Yeah,
but I saw him, and I think we talked about, we disagreed a lot on his work on Where'd You Go, Bernadette.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was some of his best work in the world.
But I was not crazy about his performance.
It was him trying, but in that film, and much like in this one to some degree, it's him trying to hold it together.
Mm-hmm.
Trying not to let his reality come apart. The world that he made with, you know, Cate Blanchett and that film and Julianne Moore here. And to see him still try to struggle to hold it together while having to face the ghosts of the past, it's he's holding on to any sort of semblance of, you know, normalcy that he can until that moment that I was talking about when he just sort of loses it.
He's never a chief focus of the movie, but I now that you say that, the whole movie is him unraveling and trying to keep it together for the family. Yeah. Like, now that you say it.
He was the one aspect, and I'm going to be the off guy here.
He's also
the voice
he's
of reason
like,
in the cast.
I gotta say, he's also like, oh my god, he just gets sexier with age, doesn't he? He does. I mean, like,
here's where we will disagree. He does nothing for me. But that Julianne Moore, however, we could talk.
She loves the Wax Museum.
He was the low note for me in this movie. Oh. I felt like Julianne Moore and her daughter Isabel were the two characters that had the most dynamic range of emotion in this film, rightly so. Mm-hmm. They're the two people that are kind of having to adjust to the new situation, and I really loved they were the raw and the real that I loved in this project. And then at the scene that you're talking about the people breaking down, he was the one that I was looking at him like, here's your moment. Here's where you're supposed to get in there.
I thought he sold it.
I didn't. It was like his whole demeanor the whole movie is like, I'm vaguely pained and aloof of the whole situation.
But then he ugly cries.
He did not ugly cry. He faked ugly crying.
No, I thought it was. I think had he taken that moment, I think they would have pushed it to some. It would have become.
They would have pushed it to Lifetime levels.
Yeah, kind of.
But the focus wasn't supposed to be on him. It was supposed to be on the women, and that's fine. I'm okay with that.
I will also posit that I think that the reason you're taking with Julianne Moore's character and the daughter's character is because I know for myself, I didn't expect to see as much of them about, you know, from their vantage point as we were given. I thought it was going to be primarily Michelle Williams' point of view. And
it sets it up that way by introducing her first.
But
which is smart. Yeah. And then they give you something completely different, which is nice.
Yeah. And these are two women, the Julianne Moore character and her daughter. We should say her name.
I'm sorry. Abby Quinn.
Oh,
Abby Quinn.
Plays Grace, who is, I just looked at her Wikipedia page. She's been in very few things, and it's like listen, Bumblebee, uncredited extra in background.
Oh my
God. I hope she's in a lot more things, because she's got range.
Tall area.
But those are two characters that you would be quick to, not write off, but feel like you have pegged right away. At least I did. And I love the more and more time we spent with them, you know, just the level of complexity that they're living with.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's probably why you were so taken with them, because they became more and more intriguing.
That's
more
absolutely more valid. Yeah, absolutely. And then in the counterpoint to that, I was less inclined towards Michelle Williams as the project went on.
Because you're kind of mad at her.
Like the big reveal scene, she gets mad at Billy for hiding the fact that he kept their daughter. And I'm like, I kind of disagree with that. Yeah. Like, you didn't want to go through that life path, and so you made the choice. That's fine. But he's an adult, and it's his kid. And if he wants to keep the child, that's great. Yeah. Let him do the thing.
I mean, like, it's sort of clear that she definitely dove into absolutely unfindability.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's fine.
I don't tell you, you wanted to escape. He couldn't find you to say, I changed my mind. And you're like,
and would you have wanted him to?
Because the birth father raised your child instead of like a totally random couple that you don't know what would
have. And that they're happy and gave her a good home, and she was raised well and is a delightful human being. Like, how dare you, sir?
She's like a billionaire. It's like, oh no.
Her life was so horrible with you in it. How dare you?
She's actually my least favorite character. And I'm going to be the only one. No, the daughter is my least favorite character.
Really?
I feel like her writing wasn't as good as it could have been.
She does like crazy decisions throughout the entire time, and then she's just there to be like exaggerate the drama. Not exaggerate, that's a poor word, but accentuate the drama. Like,
well, it's also happening to her.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you, actually. I think she is the weakest character here, but it's weirdly one of the strongest performances.
Yeah, no, it's still not bad at all.
She gives such a... I mean, there's just something watching her and the range of emotions she goes through in the sometimes all in the space of a few seconds is masterfully done for such a young actress.
The last time she walks into Julianne Moore's office in the film, just the look on her face... made me just break down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
but actually, I agree with you. She's underwritten, and they make a decision in there at one point about her own wedding that we all agreed kind of came out of nowhere.
I think if you lose that aspect of the... I mean, I was thinking about that on the drive over here. There's no reason for anything post-wedding with her and her young marriage to even really exist in this film.
So the brother-in-law should have just exited stage left after the wedding.
He's like, okay, well, I'll be here. I mean, it didn't really...
That or there needed to be an extra half hour of the film. I felt that was the one thing I walked away with feeling was it comes to this beautiful crescendo and then there's a break and that break is the end of the movie. And I wanted there to be more opportunity for the characters to display kind of the, what have we learned from this? Mm. The, okay, now that this big momentous moment has happened in your lives, there's obviously going to be a change. What is that change and how is that going to go forward? Like, how are these conflicts going to be resolved? What steps are you going to take later? And there was no opportunity for that. So I felt like it was a really, like I said, missed opportunity for the development that could have happened for her. Like, I would have liked to see... She was upset in the moment and questioning things because she's young and it's a new marriage and everything is shaken up and you're going through this like huge revelation in your life. But that's a moment. How are you going to respond to that a month down the road?
Yeah.
Where does that take you?
It felt like that there's a whole missing thing with her coming to this hasty decision that you want everyone to go, oh, for Christ's sakes, have you listened to anything that's happened?
Yeah. What happens when you make snap decisions?
When you make bad decisions.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like that. Like super fast decisions when you're emotionally heated.
That was my biggest disappointment with this.
Let's go to final thoughts. Jen, you were talking, so why don't you get us started?
Oh, fine. Why do you got to throw me out there like that? Beautiful cinematography, gripping story. The characters in this film make it. There were some plot points that just kind of made me raise my eyebrows and some character moments that I felt could have been developed further. I know it was a longer film, but I would have very much liked an extra half an hour for like a fourth act of wrapping these things up and seeing where they go. That would have made me much happier. I'm interested to see, is there more of the story that they cut out? Did they make that choice deliberately? I wish there was more to it. Julianne Moore just really, man, she really sold it. Like she kicked this out of the park. Really, I know, but I love that about her. She's so good.
Deeply underappreciated.
Yes.
I'm always like, people talk about Meryl Streep. I'm like, you know that Julianne Moore was like the next generation Meryl Streep. Right?
I mean, I gravitate right towards Julianne Moore even more than Meryl Streep, actually.
Okay.
But that's just my personal.
She's at that level, though.
She is. Absolutely.
She was interviewed recently, and I think it was something for this film. She was doing promotion. And she was asked, what's the one thread in terms of the characters you choose? And she's like, I tend to pick characters that society would otherwise take one look at, think they know, and then just dismiss.
Elevating the ordinary to the extraordinary.
And she like exploring those.
Of course, not her one from The Big Lebowski, but still, that's
come from my Lebowski right
Nobody's
now.
Nobody's going to dismiss Maud Lebowski.
Don't be fatuous, Jeffrey.
Oh, I'm not coming down on Lebowski. I'm just saying that doesn't fit the profile.
Green coat really tied the room together, did it not?
It did.
And
it
no did. One's going to dismiss Amber Waves because I mean it's Amber Waves, and she's just like. You look at Amber Waves. Oh, hey, Heather Graham, there you are. But it's like, you know, sorry. This is your final thoughts. So
she didn't even give a rating.
I'm arrived of a human being. I was trying to think of the best way to rate this film, and I'm going to go with the one thing that stuck out. I'm going to give this 7.5 green felt pens that you use to sign contracts.
Oh, really? That's so awesome.
What was that? What was that? You don't do that.
Like a boss. So, I mean, come on.
It's because you can forge it so easy with black ink. Yeah. That's what I learned.
Black or blue? You could go blue.
Maybe that's a trademark. Maybe for her first contract she ever signed, she only had a green pen.
But she already signed in blue. The other girl signed in blue.
It's using like a ballpoint, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, who signs contracts with a felt pen?
I mean, I would, but not a green one.
It's her thing. Maybe it's like like the Carol Burnett
felt
in your tongue.
Pens
that's her thing.
Write beautifully. If you're a writer and you like to manually write everything, yeah. Felt pens are delightful. Yeah. Yes,
well,
they are great.
Keyboards now. So. Yeah.
Rude. Rude. Don't come for me, Tina.
Frank, what about you?
You know, I really love this film. I think this is the kind of late summer grown-up indie that you just want to sink your teeth into if you're, like, a fan of, like, you know, dramas that really feature, you know, complex human beings at their most complex, and when they're forced to face the past. You know, I kind of feel not sorry for Michelle Williams in terms of, but I think her character is the trickiest to pull off because she spends so much of it, being in shock that she's in front of like her past. And then once she does, once she moves on from that, it's like, where does she go now? But I think that, I love the idea of her as a woman who's spent her entire life atoning for this one decision that she made. I mean, come on, going to India and working with orphans. I mean,
it's not a decision anyone makes lightly.
No, yeah, exactly. But
it's
also,
Tuesday for me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Except Friday. Fridays are free, though. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a bird reference. But anyways,
working with drug lords is the same as orphans.
Do not come for me, Tina.
There could be some jokes made there. But no, I think that the characters all across the board are very well written. They're very well explored. And I think that the subtlety of this movie, is so interestingly, planned out that it really makes it work. You know, like there's a moment where we think that we would see, and in a Lifetime movie, we would see it, and it would be in a bed, and everybody, people would be around, and, you know, and we don't see that.
Yeah.
I think it's so refreshing, yeah. You know.
I liked it that there was no reason to drag that part.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. But everything, there's not really a false moment in this film, I don't think, in terms of the characters and the way they relate to each other, and... Yeah.
Except for Billy's ugly cry.
I love it. Oh, I love it.
Except for one of the daughter's choices. That would be mine.
Oh, and that.
Yeah, but even that was like, I mean, you throw, that's such a
thing. I hated the font in the title.
That's
such a throwaway, like, you know what I mean? Like, the movie would be so much better without that. I'm really kind of clueless to why
they could actually cut that scene out. The movie's long enough; it doesn't affect anything else in the plot.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let it.
Yeah, I was like, why are we wasting our time on this? But no, this is great. It's a rich drama. It's well written. It's so well acted. I gotta give this 8 out of 10 dresses that show up in your hotel room when you got that impromptu wedding to go to.
I'm just saying.
Yes, it's the dresses.
Fashion. Turn to the left.
It was a pretty woman moment. It was wasted on fucking Michelle Williams.
Thank you. Not a fan.
I wondered why in the middle of the film you just yelled out, "Where's my fucking montage?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you just to get ready for the big presentation tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't normally see movies like this, but I really enjoyed it. I thought the first act was really, really awkward and uncomfortable. Like, for a little bit, I didn't know who to root for, because everyone seemed kind of awful in their own way.
Isn't that great, though? It's the ambiguity of it.
I get it, but it was also uncomfortable. Like, it was corporate office humor, and, like, just for a little bit, just the first act. But once the first shoe drops, as Chris said, oh man, it's a ride. Like, every plot point is like conflict, resolution. So, outside of that, the only thing I didn't like is the ending, because it just kind of is like, doesn't resolve everything. It's just like, and it's over. So, but overall, I mean, I really liked it a lot. I can't say anything else that the other two haven't said, except for maybe I wasn't the biggest fan of the dialogue at times. But other than that, I'd probably give it, just because it's a theme for the movie, 7 out of 10 broken promises.
Ooh.
So overall, I was genuinely really enjoying this. I did think at 110 minutes, it's a little overstuffed. While I still agree with you, there was definitely room to explore the things, more things with her daughter. And part of that might just be that she was so good.
Yeah.
We wanted her to have a chance to, like
redeem herself.
Yeah.
Well, just have her plot be more pertinent to the story. And it felt like it would have been a good balance to the rest of the story to explore that further. I mean, I'm frustrated at one point going, will someone please tell her to calm down? And, like, heated emotions at points, making big decisions when you're heated, no matter who you are, is never a good idea. But no.
Neither is marrying the pretty boy with no brains. But I mean, that's another story.
Sometimes the pretty boy with no brains ends up being really good, though.
Nah, babe.
No, surf. Prince Edward in Enchanted.
There you go.
I mean,
don't even get me started.
No, but I love him because he's not. He's vain as fuck, but he has such a good heart. There's nothing like mean spirited about him.
There's something to be said for the you're not smart, you're real pretty, and you've dedicated your life to serving me.
No. I have a cat for that, or like my horse. I don't
when
want
does
it.
A
like
cat serve you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's valid. That's valid.
Anyway,
that's valid.
Lucky it lets you in the door. Sometimes.
I did actually think at points as a director, Frenlich makes some awkwardly on the nose visual choices. Like there's a shot during the biggest supposed to be the tearjerker scene, like big ugly cry scene, that's immediately followed up by a shot of rain dripping off of a
yeah, that was a really like, cathartic moment. I loved it.
For me I was like, come on, man. If someone's not already crying, they're not going to start crying because
I know you're showing rain falling. Yeah. No, but I do.
No, it's washing the emotions away.
I know what you mean, though. I mean, I thought to myself, all right, do we really need another shot of Michelle Williams in that fucking red shawl on her balcony, staring out there? Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's valid.
It's like a whole metaphor that has to do with Julianne Moore finding a fallen nest from a tree that is so ridiculously on the nose. a broken nest? Really?
But I love that nest three that, broken eggs know, in it.
The movie early nest. On. And I love that we saw that early on because it's sort of, it really, that's when I first thought, okay, you're not just this steely, like, corporate businesswoman who carves out 5 minutes for her family. You know, you're actually take notice of what's around you, the actual world around you.
But you're a real
degree.
Mom.
To some degree.
It was trying to service that, but ultimately it was more there for the men.
I mean, if we're going to be nitpicky now, then the movie would be 15 minutes less if we remove the scenes where she angrily takes off her shoes and runs downstairs.
Man, she does that.
Cardio, dude. Cardio.
She wasn't wearing hot heels.
I know.
She was wearing fucking flats. Why did you take your shoes off?
She wants to be connected to the earth.
Yeah, but the moment she leaves and goes on the street, her shoes are back on again. Yeah. So I'm like, come on.
You're not connected to the earth in a concrete stairway.
Yeah. No. I was like, that made no sense.
I was like, how did they clean that? I mean, God, it's in New York.
She can't be contained, guys.
Anywhere in New York without shoes. I don't care what.
You now have tetanus and five other communicable diseases.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I still did find this emotionally satisfying, incredible performances. I would definitely not be surprised to see some Oscar nods
for the
performances this year.
I think so.
I think that's all it's going to get. It might get a nod for more, for sure.
Maybe some indies.
But,
indie
I mean,
spirit.
It's a weird year that goes
by. Hey, guys, you tried.
Good shot, guys.
I can see them like lumping it with like if Julianne Moore has another film, and I can see them pulling this one together. But
I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10 broken robin eggs.
Oh, there you go. What was your rating? I forget.
It was 7 broken promises.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Monster.
You promised me shit that would happen after a wedding. I guess that gotcha.
It did.
Yeah.
Where was Nicole Kidman? We needed Margot. Margot wasn't at the wedding. Sorry, just kidding.
You were hoping for that the whole
time. Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's a shared universe.
Yes, Nicole.
They were promised lobster.
Not shrimp.